Chad Buballa Show, Radio 720 WGN. Well, there's a pretty cool thing going on in Chicago today. You've heard undoubtedly a lot about it this week. I know we've been talking about it here on WGN, and you've seen a lot of stuff in the paper and on WGN TV about it this past week. The 606 Trail is opening. What in the world is it? Where does it go? And why do we care so much about this thing? Leonor Vivanco is on the phone with us from the Red Eye. Hey, Leonor, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being with us. So you wrote a big piece about the 606. This is a bike trail, basically, where there used to be rail lines, right?
Right, right. It's on an embankment of an old Canadian Pacific rail line, and it's about a 2.7-mile long trail. So it's not just for cyclists. I mean, walkers, runners, if you want to walk your dog along this trail, that's fine, too. Dogs are allowed as long as they're on the leash. And it goes from Ashland on the east to Ridgeway on the west.
So if you're in the burbs and don't know the city very well, explain to me Ashland on the east, Ridgeland on the west. This is not running into the heart of downtown. It's kind of cutting across just the western, just a little bit west of downtown?
Yeah, it's less than 5 miles northwest of the loop. So if you're thinking, if you've driven on, you know, the Kennedy, mm-hmm. and you know that mural that ends up getting painted often, on the side as you're heading downtown, it's on your right side.
Sure.
So right there, that's Ashland Avenue, and that's basically where the trail begins on the east side.
Okay.
So it starts at this park called Walsh Park. And then extends down, like I said, about, a little less than 3 miles going west. And, Walsh Park is just one of what will be 6 parks that connect to the trail. 4 will be open today. 2 other ones will happen at a later phase.
So it doesn't run directly north-south, though, right? Does it run a little bit sort of like northeast to southwest?
It runs east to west.
Directly.
The trail itself. It's along what's called Bloomingdale Avenue, which is why you've heard of, the term Bloomingdale Trail. So it runs east to west, but if you're looking, at a map of downtown, it's just a little, northwest of, the Central Loop area.
Okay, so it is directly east-west, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 2.7 miles. I imagine there was a lot more train line that left. Why did they decide to end it where they did?
I'm not sure about that. I know that, they have secured almost all of the funding. I think it's about a $95 million project, so I'm sure if they keep extending it, the cost inevitably will probably go up with that. The trail does extend already through 4 neighborhoods, so even though, 2.7 miles may not seem that long.
Yeah.
It actually cuts through 4 neighborhoods, and those are Bucktown, Wicker Park, Logan Square, and Humboldt Park. And a lot of Chicagoans have, come to those neighborhoods to check out, the bars and restaurants there, and also the parks. Humboldt Park has a huge, beautiful park over there too.
It's because I live way out in the western burbs, and a lot of areas have done this with rail lines that aren't being used anymore out on the Fox River and the Elgin and Dundee and Carpentersville areas. We have a huge stretch that's got to be 10 miles long of a trail like this. But here in the city where you can't get enough green space, this is going to be a really great thing for a lot of people who, while they might have parks and stuff, they don't have long running trails or bike trails. A lot of people probably are taking their chances running along sidewalks and in the streets every day.
Well, and the Lakefront Trail, that's a pretty long trail that goes through the city. And this is similar to that, obviously a shorter version of it. But, much like the Lakefront Trail, how, it's a multi-purpose trail. People will, bike and run and walk, rollerblade. That's kind of what this trail is envisioned to be, similar to that, too. I mean, there's even a, it's a 14-foot wide path, and that's concrete with a rubber surface on 2 feet on each side for runners. So if they want a softer surface to run on, they can do that shoulder area there.
Well, yeah, of course, nothing compares to the lakefront and the huge trail we have there and the magnificent scenery there.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with the lakefront trail is you got to get there. And this is running right through neighborhoods where I imagine the access to the 606 is going to be so much better than trying to get down to the lakefront for a lot of people.
Yeah, there's there's an access point to the trail every quarter mile, so it's pretty frequent, and in total, I believe there are 17 ramps. So if you're biking, I mean, you can just bike up the ramp and get onto the trail. There's also one staircase, kind of like a grand staircase, if you will, over on Milwaukee Avenue. So yes, there's plenty of ways to get up to the trail. Like I mentioned earlier, that it connects to four parks, and at each of those parks, there's an access point. So even if you go to one of the parks, you'll be able to find your way up to the trail.
And it's four parks right now as it opens today. Two more planned for later, right?
Right, right. And that's also, you know, a funding issue, too. There's one that's planned at the western end of the trail by Ridgeway. That was this Maggid glove factory. And that got put on hold because there was a suspension in grants, in the state grant, that was going to help fund the acquisition of that.
No bathrooms planned for anyone. Now, it's only a 2.7-mile trail, so you think, well, if you're in the neighborhood, you know, you can get home pretty easily or whatever, plan it out better. But mm-hmm. but you have to think at some point that's going to become an issue.
And I think that's something that the Trust for Public Land and the Park District will probably take a look at once people start using the trail. I mean, certainly they'll be welcome to some feedback on that. But, yeah, that was one of the things I was surprised to find out in my reporting, that, you know, no bathrooms. But there will be water fountains, though, for runners or cyclists, you know, who get thirsty. There at least will be something for them.
Well, that's good. But I imagine there's a couple of issues with the bathrooms. One is, you know, if you have a permanent facility, then there's upkeep on that. It's not like you can just throw it there. Now people have to show up and clean it and do things like that. Also, when do you open and close them? There's the dangers of people sleeping in them or just – because what's the talk been about the worries about crime? Because these go through pretty good neighborhoods, right? But at night, it's dark. Does the trail ever close? How is it going to be monitored? Have they talked much about that?
Well, it's similar to the Lakefront Trail. You know, the hours of operation, you know, that they're technically open is 6 a.m. to 11 p.m., and that's what the Lakefront Trail has as well. And so, I mean, it'll become part of an area that the Chicago Police Department will have to patrol.
Have they, because cars don't, can police cars go on this, or will the police ride bikes on it, or do we know how they're going to patrol it?
I don't know exactly what the security plan is for that. I'm not sure if they're even wide enough for cars to drive up on there. But I know when, you know, the CPD patrols the Lakefront Trail, many of them are also on bikes as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know exactly what the plan is for that. I do know there's lighting on the trail.
There is, okay.
And it was designed to shine directly down on the trail because there are homes that butt up, homes, condos, apartments that butt up to the trail because it's in a neighborhood. So, people's homes are right there. So the lights were designed to reflect down onto the trail so you don't get a glare inside anybody's home. And there's fencing around the trail too, designed, I guess, you know, for privacy with the homes that are adjacent to the trail.
Does the fencing go along the whole route except for the access points?
Yes, fencing is along the entire route. In some areas it's lower, in other areas where it's like right up against homes it's higher, and the idea then is to kind of grow vines on it like a trellis eventually.
Oh, that's cool. Divvy stations close by, none right on the trail, right?
No, one actually is right at the trail. It's at Albany, and it's right where the Julia DeBurgos Park is, which is one of the parks that links up to the trail. So that's the closest Divvy station. It's literally right there at the trail. So if you wanted to ride a Divvy bike along the trail, it's possible there. And, I mean, even within, you know, blocks of the trail itself, I mean, there's more than a dozen Divvy bike stations.
We're speaking with Leonore Vivanco from the Red Eye. She's a staff writer, reporter there. We're talking about the 606. It opens today. When we come back, we'll find out about all of the celebrations going on and see if Leonore's actually had a chance to walk the trail at all yet. I wonder if we're going to hear a lot about bikers versus cyclists on this trail when it opens. We'll talk about that next. Matt Bubala with you, Radio 720 WGN. We're We're speaking with Leonore Vivanco. She is a staff reporter for The Red Eye. She wrote a big piece on the 606. You can find it at redeyechicago.com. You can follow Leonore on Twitter at LVivanco. Vivanco, I like saying that. Sorry.
I know, it has a nice ring, doesn't it?
It does. It sounds cool. All right, so are we going to, in a couple weeks, will you be reporting about bicyclists and joggers fighting on this thing? Or do you think, you know, we have a lot of issues with cyclists and pedestrians and cars. At least we took the cars out of this equation. So now we're just going to have cyclists and runners. The times I've been on the lakefront trail, you always say, to the left, as these cyclists come screaming by and you freak out as a runner, like getting out of the way. I know that you mentioned the way they designed this is they have some softer padding on the sides of the trail, so that would encourage the runners to be there. Do you think you're going to be reporting on fights between cyclists and runners? Do you think this will work out pretty well?
Well, I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that to see what happens. It's not that wide of a path. I mean, it is, like I said, it's a 14
it sounds, foot wide. It sounds wide when you say 14 path. Feet, but it's really not. When you say, 14 feet, well, you divide that with people on the right, people on the left. Now it's seven
right.
on each side. Put a bicyclist and a runner there. Suddenly it's starting to get a little cramped, right?
Right. So, but that's what, the rail line allowed for. It's actually, 30-foot right-of-way, but they also wanted landscaping, so you'll see some plants and shrubs and flowers alongside, and they needed some room for the light posts and everything. So that's why the path is that, it's 14 feet wide. So we'll see. On the lakefront, runners, walkers, bicyclists, even people with their dogs, we all coexist on the lakefront trail.
Right.
So hopefully that will be the same thing for this trail, but it's definitely something that we're going to keep an eye on.
So the grand opening is today. What are the celebrations going on? What can people take part in?
Sure. So they're listed on the website, the606.org, and it starts at 8:00 in the morning with some celebratory ribbon cuttings. And then from there, there's going to be some processions, decorated bikes are going to be going along the trail. And they're going to have some activities as well at the street level parks. One of the cool things about the trail is that it is above ground. It's about 17 feet up from, street level.
The whole thing is?
I'm sorry?
The whole thing is? The whole stretch of 2.7 miles?
Well, it kind of dips in some areas, but for the most part, it's about 17 feet up.
And is that because the rails are kind of built up and this was using the natural? 17 feet seems high.
Yeah, that's what the embankment was.
No kidding.
Wow. That's where the train tracks were above ground there. So they basically removed the tracks. And in some areas, like I said, they wanted to create some variety. So in some areas, it'll dip. It'll go up, it'll meander. So it's not, straight all the time. They did create some variety in the design of it.
And what about where it goes through streets? Because I imagine there's got to be some points that streets used to cross through here. Does it go above the streets, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's above the streets. So you'll see there's 37 bridges.
Oh, wow.
You'll see the viaducts. That's why it may be hard to figure out, so where is this thing? Because it's not at street level.
Well, that's interesting. All right, so 2.7 miles, dogs are allowed if they're on a leash, bikes are allowed, runners are allowed. Can you rollerblade on it too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, everything's allowed. It's free for all. And so dogs are allowed. There's the four parks. They're not dog parks. They're parks where dogs are allowed, though, if they're on a leash, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there is not one.
There are two dog-friendly areas, though, at two of the parks.
At two of the parks, okay.
Churchill Park at Damon has a dog-friendly area. And I believe Walsh Park does as well.
And does that mean a fenced-off area where the dogs can run around a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Off the leash? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not one doggy bag dispenser along the whole trail or in the parks?
No. I'm not sure if the dog-friendly area is at the park, but just to be safe, I'd say, you have to bring your own poop bag.
Yeah, but everybody should always be bringing their own poop bag.
Yeah, everybody should.
You'd like to not have to take it all the way home if you could, but there's no dispensaries for your poop bags.
Well, what I meant by dispensing stations, some areas will have, the bags there,
right.
And you're like, okay, I got to grab a bag and, clean up after my dog.
And I guess there are garbage cans along the route? Will there be garbage cans?
That's a good question. I'm not sure where those are planned along the route.
or how often the city will service them. I mean, that'll be an interesting thing is a week or two from now on Mondays, is it a mess because they're not, you know, because they're not cleaning up the garbage cans, or are there enough garbage cans? Thing, you know, people are running. They're bringing water bottles. They're bringing Gatorade. They're bringing in their snacks or whatever. Families that are going on this, you know, there's going to be. So it'll be interesting to see how the city is handling all of that.
I'm sure they're at the park levels. I mean, there must be some waste, you know, garbage can area, because I've seen them in every park that I've been to.
Yeah. Well, it will be interesting, won't it? Have you gotten to, did you get to walk along the trail at all or check it out in person?
I did about a month ago, just to kind of check in and see what the status is, what it looked like at that time, because it was significant construction had happened. So, you know, I saw the concrete trail. They did have, what's cool about this is they have stainless steel mile markers embedded in the concrete, so you know how far you've gone.
Oh, that's cool.
Along the trail. So that was in place. You know, they had started work on the observatory, which is at the western end of the trail at Ridgeway. There's a observatory over there, where, you know, it'll be a nice place to kind of watch the sunset.
Yeah.
And there's a feature there that they have that's called the blade. And basically where the sun hits this blade indicates, you know, winter and summer solstices.
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. Are there bars, restaurants along the way if people want to not necessarily get a workout in, but just, hey, let's go on a little 606 pub
crawl
type
thing?
Yeah, can that be done?
Yeah, there are, you know, because of the areas that it cuts through this trail, you know, there's a lot of bars and restaurants in areas like Logan Square, Wicker Park, Bucktown. So there are a number of places in close proximity to all those access points that you can walk to and, you know, check something like Parsons Chicken and Fish. That's, you know, a great outdoor spot where they have fried chicken and frozen Negronis. So that's not far from there. Or Bang Bang Pie. That's another one that's, you know, very popular that isn't very far.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And $95 million, where did that money come from? Were there grants, or was that just a city, we're going to eat this even though we're in debt because this is a cool thing we need to do?
No, it's a combination. It's federal money as well as, you know, grants and such. So it's definitely a combination of private and public funding.
Excellent. Leonor Vivanco is the staff reporter at the Chicago Red Eye. RedEyeChicago.com is the website. You can find the article there. The 606.org is the official website of the trail. You can find all the information for the festivities today, and you can follow Leonor at L Vivanco, at L Vivanco on Twitter. Leonor, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's the Matt Bubala Show, Radio 720 WGN.